Chapter 53. Kylar opened his eyes in an unfamiliar room. It was getting to be an all too common occurrence. This rendition was small, dirty, cramped. The bed smelled as if the straw hadn't been changed in 20 years. His heart raced as he prepared himself for whatever might come next. "Relax," Mama Kay said, coming to stand near his bed. It was a safe house, doubtless, on the north side of the Warrens, by the smell.
"How long?"
Kylar asked, his voice a croak.
"How long have I been out?"
"Nice to see you, too," Mama Kay said, but she smiled.
"A day and a half,"
a man's voice said. Kylar sat up. The speaker was Lord General Aegon. That was a surprise.
"Well, looks like the huge new wall around the city isn't the only thing that's changed."
"Amazing what the bastards can do when they try something constructive, isn't it?" Aegon said.
He had a crutch and moved like his knee pained him.
"It's good to see you, Kylar," Mama Kay said.
"The rumors have already started about how the Night Angel killed Hugh Gibbet. But the only people who know it was actually you are my guards. They've been with me a long time. They won't speak." So his identity was safe. But Kylar wasn't going to be distracted. He'd come too far, too fast, and given too much with only one thing in mind.
"What do you know about Logan?"
Mama Kay and Aegon looked at each other.
"He's dead,"
Mama Kay said.
"He's not dead," Kylar said. "The best information we have, he's not dead. Jarl came to tell me, all the way to Caernarvon."
"Kylar," Mama Kay said.
"The Caladorans found out who Logan was yesterday. As best we can tell, he was either killed by another inmate because of it, or he threw himself down the hole to avoid what the God King would do to him."
"I don't believe it."
"Yesterday, while I was sleeping, I was that close."
"I'm sorry," Mama Kay said. Kylar stood and found a new set of wet boy grays piled on the foot of his bed. He began getting dressed.
"Kylar," Mama Kay said.
He ignored her.
"Son,"
Aegon said.
"It's time to open your eyes. No one likes that Logan's dead. He was like a son to me. You can't bring him back, but you can do some things that no one else can."
Kylar pulled on his tunic. "And let me guess," he said bitterly. "You two already have some ways you want me to put my talents to use." "In a few days, Terra Grayson's army will meet the God King's army just north of Pavil's Grove. She'll get there first and have the advantage both of terrain and numbers," Mama Kay said.
"And the problem is?"
"That the God King's going for it. After the Nocta Himata, he should be twice as careful as he ever has been. But he's walking straight into this. Kylar, our spies have only caught hints, but I'm sure this is a trap. Terra Grayson won't listen. She wouldn't fight until the God King presented her with a fight she couldn't lose. Now she has that, and nothing will stop her. All we know is that he's doing something magical, and it's big."
"Don't say it," Kylar said.
"We want to hire you for a hit, Kylar,"
Mama Kay said.
"A hit worthy of the Night Angel. We want you to kill the God King," Mama Kay said.
"You're insane."
"You'll be a legend," Aegon said.
"I'd rather be alive." It was eerie. It was exactly what they'd wanted him to do before he left the city. It was exactly what Jarl had died to ask. Kill the God King, redeem all the pain and waste of his wet boy training. One kill, and he could hang up the sword, satisfied that he'd done more than his part. One kill that would save thousands. It had the feel of destiny.
"Even if Logan is still alive, it won't be any good to save his life if you let his only chance to have a kingdom be destroyed,"
Aegon said. If he survived this long, he can make it for another day or two. Kill the God King and save the kingdom. Then go looking for our king.
Kylar selected weapons from the wide array Mama Kay had prepared for him and secreted them about himself in silence.
You'll doom us all, Aegon said. You have the kind of power I'd die for, and you won't use it to help us, damn you!
He turned on his heel and hobbled out of the room. Kylar looked at Mama Kay. She didn't leave, but she didn't understand either.
It's good to see you again too, Mama, Kylar said.
He took a deep breath.
I left Uli with Aline. They're both going to be all right. I left them with enough money that they'll be taken care of for the rest of their lives, and Aline will love her. I did the best I could.
Jarl.
Suddenly, tears were hot in his eyes. Mama Kay put a hand on Kylar's arm and he looked down.
I know it doesn't make sense, he said. But I swore to leave this behind. I broke that vow for Logan. That cost me Aline's love and Uli's trust. I didn't abandon them so I could steal another life, but so I could save a life. Do you understand?
Do you know who you remind me of?
Mama Kay asked.
Durzo. When he was younger, before he lost his way, he would be proud of you, Kylar. I'm proud of you, too. I wish I could believe that the fates wouldn't be so cruel as to make you sacrifice everything just to find Logan dead, but I don't have that kind of faith. But I tell you what I do believe in. I believe in you.
She hugged him.
You're different, he said.
It's all your fault, she said. Next, I'll go senile.
I like it, he said.
She put her hands on his cheeks and kissed his forehead.
Go, Kylar. Go, and please do come back.
Logan had fallen asleep twice now, each time expecting that he wouldn't wake up. He had stopped eating. He wouldn't touch Finn's body. He had stopped smelling the thick, corrosive air. He had stopped noticing Nasher's little moues of concern. He had stopped bleeding, too. But it was too late. He had no strength. After Nasher had helped him sit up against a stalagmite, Logan saw another crushed body lying broken in the gloom not 10 feet away. It was Natasa Grayson. The screams of the howlers didn't frighten her now. Her limbs were mangled, but her face looked at peace. Her eyes held no accusation. They held nothing. The most passion Logan could wake was simple regret. He was sorry for Natasa, who'd never even told him how she ended up down here. He was sorry for all the things he would never do. He had never truly desired the throne. He'd always suspected that being a king was far harder than it looked. In the whole, he'd sometimes regretted that he wouldn't be remembered as someone who mattered. Now, as he sat with his back propped against the stalagmite that would someday flow over his body and entomb him for all eternity, he wished for simpler things. He missed sunlight. He missed the smell of grass, of fresh rain, of a woman. He missed Sarah Drake and all her trivialities. He missed his wife. Janine was so young, so smart, so pretty. She had been a diamond found and then lost forever. He missed Kylar, his best friend. Another diamond stripped away, found, and lost. Logan wished for love and children and the running of his estates. A simple life, a big family, a few close friends that would give him all the immortality he needed. For a while he prayed to the old gods. There was nothing else to do, and Nasher wasn't much for conversation, but the old gods had nothing to say. He even prayed to Count Drake's one god.
He wasn't sure how he was supposed to pray to the God of all things. Why would he care? Logan gave up. Mostly he tried to ignore the pain. He was about to close his eyes to try to die again, or sleep, whichever, when Nasher started howling. It was a high, piercing, irritating sound, unlike anything Logan had ever heard. The vent belched acrid smoke, and the figure Logan glimpsed for an instant was devoured in the thick cloud and darkness. Then, as the cloud dissipated, a demon strode out of it. For the first time Logan had ever seen, Nasher showed fear. He retreated to Logan's side and crouched, whimpering. But that was as far as he would retreat. The simple man's loyalty knew no bounds. The demon walked forward slowly, its glowing blue eyes fixed on Logan. Was this a howler? Or was this death finally come to claim him? Logan wasn't afraid.
"Well, shit, man," Death said with a familiar voice. "I thought I was going to have to climb all the way up the hole to find you."
"What are you?" Logan croaked. The demon's face shimmered and melted off of Kylar's face. Logan was sure he'd finally gone crazy.
"Sorry, I forgot about the face," Kylar said. He was half grinning his crazy smirk to cover his concern.
You look like the south end of a northbound horse."
It was one of Logan's old lines. Gods! From back when he barely knew a tenth of the curses he'd learned in the hole. Kylar smirked again.
Is the big guy here gonna be all right?"
Nash was trembling all over, and even Logan couldn't tell if it was from anger or fear.
"Nash," Logan said. "He's a friend. He's here to help."
Nash's expression didn't change, but he didn't move to attack.
"It really is you, isn't it?" Logan asked.
"Here to save the day," Kylar said.
When Logan failed to respond, he came over and checked Logan's body. The expression on his face was grim.
"Well, what's one more miracle, huh? You're still kicking," he said to himself.
Logan felt himself drifting away from consciousness as Kylar helped him to his feet. Kylar was speaking, and part of Logan realized that he was just trying to keep Logan with him. He did his best to listen to Kylar's voice and ignore the voices of pain and death calling to him.
"Because it's damn near impossible to get into the mall now, not like the old days. They say someone or something has taken up residence. I mean, residence. Like the mall's a place or something."
"Kali,"
Logan whispered. Kylar was taking them deeper into the hole. Logan stumbled again, and when he opened his eyes, he found he was lashed to Kylar's back. That couldn't be right. Even with all the weight Logan had lost, Kylar shouldn't have been able to carry him this easily. But the sensation didn't fade. Kylar was picking his way farther and farther down. There was no path and no luminous moss down here, but Kylar moved surely and kept talking, his voice itself warding off Logan's terror in the dark. "Was in the stacks once, and I remembered how the pipes seemed to go down into the very center of the earth. I figured that the maw goes down, and the stacks pipes go down, and they're right next to each other. I thought that if I went down deep enough, the tunnels might connect."
"You ever seen the inside of those pipes in the stacks, Logan?"
"Sheer metal going straight down, just about forever. Big windmill blades spinning as they catch the rising air. I figured I could take the slow way down or the fast way.
You know me. You can guess which I took. I grabbed a shield and made myself a little sled with handbrakes so I could steer a little. I tell you, it was a hell of a ride. I almost made it all the way down, too. Good thing I'd lost most of my speed before that last fan. I was sure it was turning faster. I pity the poor bastards who'll have to climb down to fix it."
Then Kylar stopped. He breathed deeply.
"I'm not going to lie to you. This is the bad part. We have to go underwater. This is the line, Logan.
This is what separates the hole from the stacks. The water's hot, and it's tight, and it's going to feel like you've been buried. I promise you, if you can make it through this death, you'll come out into a new life. You just hold your breath, and I'll do all the work.
Nasher,
Logan said.
Nasher? Oh, the big guy? He doesn't look like he likes water much, Logan.
Logan couldn't see Nasher. It wasn't just dark down here, it was utterly black. There wasn't even lighter blackness. It was a single, unalleviated, embracing darkness. It was hot, wet, heavy, oppressive darkness that seeped into his very lungs. He had no idea how Kylar was seeing Nasher, but Logan wouldn't leave him here.
Will you come back and get him?
Logan asked.
There was a long silence.
Yes, my king,
Kylar said finally. I'm ready. You just count. I got through in about a minute. It might take us a little longer together.
A minute?
Before we go. I'm sorry, Logan. I'm sorry for all of this, and for how much of it's my fault. I'm sorry I didn't tell you what I was. I'm sorry that I didn't kill Tenser when I had the chance. I'm just sorry.
Logan said nothing. He couldn't find the words and the strength to give Kylar what he deserved. Kylar didn't wait. He began taking great breaths, and Logan followed his example. A moment later, they plunged into the water together. Logan leaned close to Kylar's body, trying not to get in the way of his arms, trying to make his body streamlined in the water. The water was hot, stinging hot, and clearly Kylar didn't mean for this to be a leisurely swim. Logan felt them turn upside down, and then Kylar must have been grabbing onto rocks to pull them down because they were moving fast. In fact, they were moving faster than Logan thought was possible underwater. He knew Kylar was strong. He'd wrestled and sparred with him. But the speed they were moving shouldn't have been possible with the mass Kylar was pulling through the water. 10, 11. The water was pressing on every side, tight and constricting. Some part of Logan marveled that Kylar had done this already, alone, without any sure idea that the tunnels did connect, or how long of a swim it would be. At 14 seconds, Logan's lungs were burning. He held on, trying not to hold on too hard, trying to preserve his strength. The pain was nothing, he told himself. It was 20 seconds before he felt them level off, his back scraped against rock. It felt different, though he couldn't have said what sense told him so. He thought they had entered a tunnel, and from how Kylar was moving, it was a narrow tunnel. 40, 41. Now the pain was undeniable. The air was pressing its way up his throat, begging for release. It hammered at him. Just a little release. Just a little. At 50, they got stuck. Abruptly, all forward motion ceased. The shock of it made Logan open his eyes. Hot, sour water attacked his eyes, and he coughed. An enormous bubble of life-giving air rushed from his lungs. Kylar pulled and pulled. Logan felt something tearing, whether it was his ragged tunic or his skin. He didn't know, but then they were moving again. He had less than half a lungful of air. Kylar was moving at incredible speed again, but they still weren't heading upward. Then, Logan felt Kylar turn, but his friend didn't push upward. Instead, in a frenzied motion illuminated with blue magical light, he drew a short sword from his belt. Logan was thrown this way and that as Kylar slashed and stabbed at something, flashing like silver lightning in the water. There was no way he could take any more. Kylar started moving upward, but Logan couldn't make it for another 20 seconds. He couldn't hold on that long. At 67 seconds, he let the last of his air go. They were moving up so fast, he felt it play against his face as they shot up. They passed the bubble. His lungs burned. He surrendered and breathed. Scalding water poured into his lungs, followed by air. Logan coughed and coughed, and the hot, acrid stuff shot from his nose and mouth. It seared his sinuses. But a moment later, sweet, cool air replaced it. Kylar untied him and lowered him gently to the ground. Logan lay on his back, just breathing. It was still dark, but high overhead, up the metal tubes up the stacks, he saw the twinkle of distant torches. After the black waters, it felt like stepping into a universe of light. "My king," Kylar said. "There's something in the water, some giant, terrible lizard. If I go back, I don't know if I'll return. You're in no shape to make it out alone. Without me, you'll die here. Do you still want me to retrieve the simpleton?" Logan wanted to say no. He was more important to the kingdom than Nashor, and he was afraid to be left alone. Life was suddenly so close, and he didn't want to die.
"I can't abandon him, Kylar. Forgive me."
"You'd only need forgiveness if you'd asked me to leave him," Kylar said. And then he dove into the water. He was gone for 5 agonizing minutes. When he broke the surface of the water, he was swimming at such great speed that it carried him into the air. He landed on his feet. He'd made a harness of the rope and had pulled Nashor behind him. Now he grabbed the rope and pulled it in rapidly. Nashor virtually flew clear of the water. He took a deep breath and smiled at Logan.
"Hold breath, good," he said.
Kylar swept Logan into his arms as something huge broke through the water behind them. Something slapped into Kylar and sent all 3 of them sprawling. Then the chamber was lit with iridescent blue light that came from Kylar himself. He was darting about, flipping from stalagmite to stalagmite, using them to change direction unpredictably. Fear clamped down on Logan's throat. Whatever Kylar was fighting, it was huge. Enormous webbed hands crashed through stalagmites like they were twigs. Rocks rained down everywhere as Logan curled into a ball. Great gusts of air burst from a maw, visible only as the teeth and eyes reflected Kylar's blue fire. Silvery green light blinked on and off. The most terrifying thing was being unable to see. The battle raged mere paces away, and Logan could do nothing, not even observe it. He heard clanging and guessed it was Kylar's sword ringing off the creature's hide, but had no idea. He had no idea how Kylar was fighting it at all in this pitch black, and no hope of fighting it for himself. He didn't even know how big it was, or what it looked like. He lost sight of Kylar, or Kylar disappeared, because even the beast paused and snorted. It began sniffing the air, its huge head weaving back and forth. Suddenly, it shot toward Logan and Nashor. Logan threw his hands out and felt slimy hide rush past his fingers. Stalagmites crashed down everywhere. Then it pulled back and turned its head. A light as silvery cold as the moon bloomed in its green marbled eyes, and then the great snuffling head turned. The slimy snout slid past Logan's cheek as the beast's head turned. It sniffed and sniffed. Logan's fingers brushed a broken chunk of stalagmite, and he grabbed it. The motion attracted the creature. It pulled back, and the light from its eye illuminated Logan like a torch. The great cat's eye turned to him and came into focus. Logan buried the jagged rock into the great eye and ground it back and forth. Luminous green-silver light spilled on Logan with the creature's blood. The eye went out like a blown candle, and a howl filled the chamber, echoing back from the great distances all around. A moment later, a dark figure blurred past Logan and attacked the blind eye. The creature shrieked again and thrashed backward. An enormous splash sounded, and then all was quiet.
"Logan,"
Kylar said, his voice shaking with the after effects of adrenaline.
Was that Kali? No, Kali's different. Worse.
Logan laughed uncertainly.
That was just a dragon.
He laughed again like a man set free from his senses. Then, all light faded. When he woke, the three of them had been fitted with harnesses, and Kylar was hoisting them all by a rope that must have been attached to a pulley high above. They were ascending the central shaft of the stacks. It was a huge metal tube, 30 paces across, and all of the enormous fans had been stopped. How did Kylar manage that? The trip took several more minutes, and the whole time, Logan was aware of his arm burning and tingling where the creature's eye blood had spilled on him. He didn't have the courage to look at it. "We have a man inside who helped me," Kylar said. "The Sakage is now one of your most important allies, my king. Maybe your only ally." A few minutes later, they reached a section where the pipes turned horizontal. With great care, Kylar untied Logan, and then Nasher. He cut the ropes and let them fall into the abyss. The pulley followed. He led them down the narrowing horizontal section until they reached the door. Kylar tapped on it 3 times. The door opened, and Logan found himself face to face with Gorky.
"Logan, meet our inside guy," Kylar said. "Gorky, your money is..."
"You!"
Gorky said. His face showed the same disgust Logan felt.
"Kill him,"
Logan croaked. Gorky's eyes bulged. He grabbed at the guard's whistle he carried on a lanyard around his neck. Before it reached his lips, though, his head spun free of his body. The corpse dropped without a sound. It was that fast, that easy. Kylar dragged the body down the tunnel to drop it into the shaft and returned a minute later. Logan had just ordered his first kill. Kylar didn't ask for an explanation. It was an eerie, awesome, awful thing. It was power, and it felt disconcertingly wonderful.
"Your Majesty,"
Kylar said, opening the door out of the shaft, out of the nightmare. "Your kingdom awaits."